Higher education has assumed an unusually high profile in recent weeks, especially in the political arena. Last month, during his final State of the State address, Republican Governor Mitch Daniels went after what he described as credit creep at Indiana's public colleges and universities. 2 weeks later, Democratic President Barack Obama put the nation's colleges and universities on notice. If you can't stop tuition from going up, he said, the funding you get from taxpayers will go down. Before, after, and in between those two speeches, Hoosier lawmakers filed, debated, and in some cases advanced a variety of other measures targeting the state's institutions of higher education. When and why did the ivory tower become such a lightning rod for criticism and legislation? I'm John Schwantes, the high cost of higher education on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
In Indiana's largest city, there is a park where scientists bring ideas to life, where there is a growing community of like-minded innovators backed by the resources of a world-renowned university, the Purdue Research Park, Indianapolis. The idea economy is here.
And joining me to talk about higher education and the critical role it plays in our state and the 21st century are Teresa Lubbers, Indiana's Commissioner for Higher Education, Democratic Representative Sheila Klinker of Lafayette, Outreach Liaison for Purdue University School of Education, Republican Senator Jim Banks of Columbia City, a leading member of the Senate's Education and Career Development Committee, and Blair Dowden, President of Huntington University, a nationally recognized private school in Northeast Indiana, and a member of the board of the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. And I thank you all for being here for this important discussion of higher education. I thought we'd start with something the president said a couple weeks back during the State of the Union address, which he focused, of course, in part on higher education and affordability. He says, higher education can't be a luxury. It's an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford. Teresa Lubbers, can you endorse that wholeheartedly? Is that what this is all about?
It's impossible to look at the landscape of the needs of employers and not believe that post-secondary credentials are important. And if you really believe that education has the potential to provide opportunity, then you can't leave anyone behind. And it really has the opportunity to divide the haves from the have-nots. So absolutely, we need to make sure that Hoosiers understand the importance of post-secondary education.
The importance, and then make it affordable, I suppose.
It's absolutely.
It's a two-prong question, and therein lies the challenge, the difficulty. We can stipulate that it should be affordable, but then
It is
a challenge. And you're in a bit of an interesting situation because when the phone rings on your desk, it might be one of your constituents, a parent or a student, saying, you got to do something about this tuition. You know, it's killing me. And then the other phone rings across your desk and it's your other constituent, maybe the university, saying, we're not getting nearly the kind of state support we need. You got to help us on bumping up the tuition front. I know they control it, but you need to at least give us your tacit approval. How do you balance those?
Well, the bottom line is our universities are a good deal in the state of Indiana, both public and private. Compared to other universities and certainly other Big Ten universities, Purdue, IU, all of our schools, Ball State, USI, Indiana State, are really very, very good universities with great faculty. And frankly, they do not charge as much as other universities in other states. However, there is a point of no return where you have to have universities affordable. And I think we're all looking at that now. I know Dr. Cordova just announced the trimester situation at Purdue.
I think there are about 6,000 students who attend in the summer now, and by 2020 that might
be over 20,000.
Over 20,000.
And that's going to speed up, certainly, the fact that they can graduate early and make sure that they graduate in 4 years, because frankly, we have five-year programs, veterinary science, pharmacy, other areas that we know. And I know Teresa's work with them, they have to have that program because of internships. So we're working on that at all universities, John.
And out of Purdue, another development was the announcement of the next and the vote on the next tuition increase, which is, I believe, what, 1.8%,
yes,
which in the scheme of things is lower than it certainly has been. I think it was upwards of 4% in the last go-round. So
that's right.
Is that a response to...
They are listening, yes.
To this call for a more,
yes,
affordable education. Jim Banks, how about that? You agree that, A, higher education is not a luxury, an imperative, as the president
absolutely
says. And how do you get this,
Representative
balance these two things of affordability versus...
Absolutely right. We have great public and private colleges in Indiana, but as a legislator, and I'm still new to this, this is my second session, I've taken an interest in these issues. The fact of the matter is still that Hoosier taxpayers have subsidized our public universities to the tune of billions of our tax dollars over the past several decades. So we do have a responsibility as legislators to dig into the mission of what these universities were created to do to begin with, and that's to provide a good, solid, and affordable college education to Hoosier families. And that's why I've taken, it's personal for me, I'm first in my family to go to college, graduated from Indiana University, but the fact of the matter is tuition has almost doubled in the past decade, and it's just too darn expensive for Hoosier families to send a child to college in Indiana, to a private or a public college. And that's why we're working on a number of these issues this year, to, along with what the commissioner has done over the past few years, which is leading edge nationally on these issues, to continue to advance that cause even further.
You mentioned the legislative responsibility or imperative to get involved because of, as you say, the billions of dollars that state taxpayers have funded via the General Assembly into the support of and operation of our colleges and universities. And yet, if you look at it on just a percentage basis of how much of a school's operating budget comes from state coffers versus endowment funds versus private funding versus tuition, I mean, the state isn't playing the role it used to, and yet we're seeing more, arguably more of the legislative proposals and demands for action. I mean, shouldn't those demands be getting less along with the funding?
That's a fair argument. Senator Kinley, chairman of our Appropriations Committee, often educates me that those percentages are higher than they appear when you talk about the investments that we make in the buildings and the infrastructure on the public universities. But that's a fair argument. At the end of the day, though, that public support that we provide to our universities is still very significant. It's a significant part of our state budget, and it's a significant part of the university's budget, and we do have a responsibility as legislators to ask and call for some accountability.
The important thing is, so many times we end up talking about the institutions, the colleges and the universities, and that's very important. Too rarely do we talk about the impact on the students and the families. And the reality is that Indiana is 13th in the nation on the student debt load now. We rank third in the nation on the default rate on student loans. So, yes, we have a system that provides great value to Hoosiers, but we can't discount the impact on families. At the same time we're telling them they need to have post-secondary experience, we need to make sure they can afford to do that. And that's why our discussions about issues like productivity and how we deliver higher education, new paradigms in higher education, we're talking in a new way, not necessarily because we want to, but because we have to.
Well, you mentioned the two words, great value, and that's a perfect segue to Dr. Dowden. If you look at the U.S. News and World Report 2012 rankings of American colleges, your university showed up, I believe, in the top 10 among good values or best values for the Midwest. Now, assuming you didn't fudge your numbers like that school out in California, how important is that to your university to be affordable?
Yeah, vitally important. Interestingly enough, I was in Washington last week and participated in a panel discussion for the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. This is a group of 1,000 private schools across the country, including small schools like Huntington, and including NYU and Wake Forest and very large schools. The panel discussion was on college affordability, and Zakiya Smith, who is a senior education advisor for the White House, was on the panel. And what we are trying to do is to share with the White House the many steps that independent colleges have taken to reduce costs. At Huntington, we are moderating our tuition increases. We're giving much more in scholarships and grants. In fact, for every dollar that's given to us in tuition, we give back 40 cents for scholarships and grants. We also are working to moderate the loan burden. And we have this unique program. We don't know any other school in the country that provides it to all its students. And that is when they graduate, if they're working at least 30 hours a week, they are able to get their loans partially or fully repaid for them if they make under $20,000, and then it's prorated up to $36,000. So we're in that way really helping to moderate the impact on students.
So when we look at your school's tuition, which I think I looked up and saw was around $22,000
right.
a year, which sounds, I mean, compared to an in-state mm-hmm. tuition for one of Indiana schools, mm-hmm. is probably a hefty price
right.
tag. Mm-hmm. But you're saying once you factor in maybe the 40 mm-hmm. cents on the dollar coming back, once
right.
you factor in loan assistance and so forth, you're getting down to an amount that may be in some ways comparable
yeah,
to.
Yeah, a couple of national statistics. For independent colleges throughout the country, in the last 5 years, the net tuition has decreased 4.1%. Something you don't hear very often, and you hear about the increasing costs of college, but the net tuition actually has decreased. And for this year, for this academic year, the average sticker price for independent colleges around the country is $28,500, and the average cost that students pay is $13,000. So the sticker price is pretty significant, but the actual cost that they have to come to our institutions is a lot less than that.
I think that net cost is very important, and we at the commission, we've gone live with a college cost estimator mm-hmm. where students and families can go and they can compare what they see as the sticker shock and what the net cost actually
right,
is,
right.
and then compare institutions. And sometimes they're very surprised. They think they can't afford an mm-hmm. institution, where if they realize if they get the right kind of high school diploma and they apply for all the financial aid that's available, both state and federal and institutional aid as well, that all of a sudden the cost looks very different than it did to mm-hmm. begin with. So this is part of what we're trying to do in terms of providing
transparency.
Sounds
like a mortgage calculator. Yeah. You can afford a much bigger house than you think you can. Right?
And it's hard to get that message across, because sometimes students and parents just look at the catalog and say, wow, I can't afford that. But they don't apply for the financial aid and know how much the net tuition costs.
That was my point I was going to make, that at many of our state universities as well as our independent colleges, there are large scholarships, more and more financial aid that's being brought in by folks who are willing to donate to the foundation, want to make sure that they attract merit scholars. And so there are four-year scholarships, for instance, the Bering Scholarship. I know Speaker Bosma's son is a Bering Scholar at Purdue University. Everything
named for former
paid for.
President.
That's right. And everything is paid for, books and so on. So we have many, many scholarships that help our students. And you're right, they have to be aware of that and look at financial aid also.
And each of you has talked about some of the individual things that various schools and universities are doing. Let's shift that focus now to what the state and government as a whole can do to help lower some of the, if not lower, at least moderate some of the increases. And that gets to the point, for instance, Senator, that you were making, the obligation of the state. A lot of proposals on the table this session. I know there are any session. It seems like even more, maybe because of the economy, maybe any number of the imperative of having job skills. But let's talk about a few that aren't probably going to happen. We can maybe dispense with those, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty of those that are still alive and still working their way through the process. The obvious one, I guess, to the layman is, well, you know, why not just impose tuition caps? Some states have done it. You just arbitrarily say, you know, guess what? No public college or university is going to go above X percent increase. Some people advocate that. That's not going to happen this session. Senator Banks, is that something that, is that overly simplistic, or would you, are there lawmakers who would see that as advantageous?
Well, there's certainly lawmakers who do. It was an issue that came up last year when the commissioner and Senator Kinley and others brought to attention the enormous tuition increases at the public universities. And I think just merely by drawing attention to those increases, they've moved that back in the direction of decreasing some of what those tuition hikes might have been. But the issue at this point is dead as far as mandating or capping tuition rates. But I do, there is still a discussion to have about what is fair and what is unfair, and Commissioner Lubbers has led that discussion.
And in fact, Commissioner, you've been there in place now, a couple of years, and one of the things that has taken place during your tenure is the institution of voluntary recommendations or guidelines that the commission, they're not binding, mm-hmm. but I guess by putting out some numbers and saying this is what we recommend, it gets maybe to what Senator Banks is saying, there's that spotlight and the scrutiny if all of a sudden you're twice the percentage, recommended percentage. I mean, is that the kind of teeth, or would you, you know, in your heart of hearts, just like to be able to say, you know, we'll handle it at the commission. This is what you're going to
No,
increase.
I think the boards of trustees have, it's the Hoosier way for the boards of trustees to be involved with the setting of tuition. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think it's very appropriate at a system-wide level for the commission to weigh in and look at this and look at the history, the costs. look at the impact on the institutions, call people in. If they exceed those targets, try to have some justification for why that is. I think you're having that, that's taking place, and behaviors are changing. But the commission would not advocate that we would set caps. We set, you know, we basically look at this and say, these are the recommendations that we make. And I guess implicit in that is there should be a really strong reason why you don't pay attention to these recommendations. So we hope that they are paying attention.
It's called an official nudge, I guess.
You start out with President Obama's call for accountability and reform, and essentially he's calling for caps on tuition. And I think it gets complicated in the national level or in the state to cap anything. I think caps have never worked. And one of the reasons is because all the institutions are different. And you really have to dig into the inner workings of the institution, the finances, the socioeconomic level of the students to really know what tuition level should be.
And I guess
I think the presidents and the board of trustees have received the message loudly and clearly.
Hence the 1.8% increase from Purdue, for instance, which again is lower than what we've seen.
That's right. And I know Dr. Cordova is talking to Teresa and all the legislators quite often. And I think the message is clear. They do not want caps because of retention and recruitment of wonderful faculty, which we're very fortunate to have.
Well, and along those lines, one proposal, again, that's probably, you can't say anything's off the table until they gavel the session to close, sine die, and everybody goes home. But right now, the notion, the proposal of putting a cap on faculty salaries and saying that nobody at any of our institutions on faculty can make more than the governor, for instance.
Well, you know, they did that at Iowa State, and that's how we got Martin Jiskey at Purdue, because
you benefited
decided,
arguably from
that's correct. They decided to cap tuition, and they decided to put caps on salaries, and in many ways that does discourage folks coming to your university.
And this bill that again is probably not going to see the light of day or emerge from this session would have capped it at the governor's level, $95,000 a year, and as I understand it, maybe 2,000 faculty members in Indiana would either have to go somewhere else or take a pay cut. Jim Banks, is that, again, a logical
approach? I imagine a lot of college professors would be calling for the governor to make a lot more money if we...
I see the way this works, yeah.
Actually, our governor makes very little compared to most governors around the country. But no, this is an issue that didn't go anywhere in this session. I don't expect it to be an issue that's seriously debated in the future.
And would sports coaches be applied? Well, that's another discussion for
another...
That's another different pot of money, I guess. Let's talk about some of the reforms that are still... out there and still moving forward, the so-called creep bill. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Governor Mitch Daniels said is, you know, hey, it used to be for a four-year degree, 120 credit hours, for an associate's two-year degree, 60, and all of a sudden now we're seeing 131, 148. For a sociology degree, he cited, a music degree, he cited. Is the creep real?
Well, it's not unique to Indiana, but the creep is real. And basically what we're saying is there are reasons why programs, particular programs, need to exceed 120 or 60. Accreditation, licensure, employer certification, and certainly under those circumstances, the commission and all of us should understand why that is. But why a degree that was approved at 120 has crept to 124, 126, 128, with no added benefit to the student. That's the question is there an added benefit to the student? So what we're saying is that we believe it will save students time and money and increase the likelihood of completion. Clearly what we know is that time is the enemy of completion. If it takes too long, students don't graduate. So if all of a sudden you can't get your 120 hours and you can't graduate in 4 years, it's an extra semester. Your student aid runs out after 8 semesters, so you run out of state aid. You still are in school. So there's a very real reason to look at the issue of credit creep, and I think the legislature is understanding that.
Sheila Klinker?
Well, let me play the devil's advocate.
Okay, that's why you're here.
And say that technology has become a very important part of our lives, and in every course description, you have technology courses added. And that does increase what you have to do. I mean, when I was at the university at Purdue in education, there were really no technology courses available, nor did we have to take them at that time. Now, with the technology changing every single day, I think the students have to keep certainly up to date with that, and some of those courses are technology courses, even in the College of Education. So I think there's a reason for some of that college creep and the credit creep, as they call it. But also,
apparently in higher education.
I want to defend the fact that there is a lot more to be known for our students today. They have to be prepared for the classroom and for the everyday work world.
Jim Banks, you buy this argument because you've been an advocate of you introducing more and more technology into the classroom. One of your bills that is heading toward enactment. Would require high school students to take at least one course online before they graduate, and obviously there'll be more online.
At the college level. This is a simple proposal that would merely make the commission the referee in this issue, and I think that's fair. As the liaison between the state and the public universities, the commission would get involved in deciding if more or less credits should be determined for a degree, and I think that's a very fair proposal.
Let me and Blair Dowden. I mean, as you sit here, you're thinking, I'm glad I'm a private institution, and this I can sit on the sidelines and I don't have to worry about that. But is that really the case, or what they're discussing and what comes out in terms of credit requirements probably does have a significant impact? Not in a vacuum, I guess.
I think it's one factor, the number of credits, but another factor is the availability of classes, being able to go through in 4 years and get those classes. And I think the independent colleges have had a good track record in that. Our completion rate over 4 years is double that of the state institutions. And I think it's because those courses are available. And if they're not, faculty make them available. They'll teach them in a private session with students.
Well, we've experienced time creep here, and we're almost out. We are out of it, but the notion of easy transfer of credits, I'd be remiss if I didn't get to that. Is that important that you can, an apple here is an apple here, and if I'm going to this community college, I know I can get into a four-year institution, and these credits will apply?
Well, you have to do this in a very smart way, and we're doing that. We've increased the amount of transfer in Indiana by about 78% between two- and four-year institutions, but there's still important work to do. And there are some general education, a core, where students ought to be able to take that with them and know that when they go to another school, they shouldn't have to repeat that. Now, we have some things to work out about how we do that at different institutions, but there's no doubt about the fact that this is another student-friendly proposal that's very important to make sure that we have completion.
And everybody agree.
Articulation is important, and it's improving. Sure.
All right, we'll end on a note of agreement then, I guess.
That's right.
Thank you all for being here. I'm sorry that time, as it always does, goes by far too fast. Again, my guests have been Teresa Lubbers, Indiana's Commissioner for Higher Education, Democratic Representative Sheila Klinker of Lafayette, Republican Senator Jim Banks of Columbia City, and Blair Dowden, President of Huntington University. The road to a mass transit expansion goes right through the State House. Roadblock or on-ramp on the next Indiana Lawmakers. Time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletters Indiana Legislative Insight and Indiana Education Insight. Ed, this session, and we got a flavor of this during the roundtable, there are a lot of substantial higher education-related proposals. Why this sort of flood, or is it just, am I misreading the situation?
No, higher education has been a real important topic this session and will probably be again next year. And I think part of the reason, perhaps the main reason, is that we've seen a real change in how we look at the mission of higher education in the state of Indiana. And we're really trying to use it to promote economic development and improve the workforce skills. And because of those kinds of things, I think we've taken another closer look at what goes into higher ed and the cost and how things are taught and all of those things. And that's why we're starting to see a real renewed emphasis on it.
And you mentioned this mission differentiation and with driven by the economy. You've got the traditional research institutions. And then if you look at where the tremendous growth has been, both in terms of funding, to the extent that there has been tremendous growth in state funding and population or enrollment, it's the community colleges. Is that, again, part of this phenomenon you're describing?
Absolutely, and we're using those two-year degrees, the associate degrees, to kind of transfer people into other programs as well. Now you've got Indiana University, Purdue University, other universities around the state that are accepting these credit transfers from Ivy Tech and Vincennes, for example, and we're seeing that this is promoting a greater improvement of job development skills.
And we talked about several things. Is there, which one is most likely, or of the more substantial sorts of proposals, is likely to come through? Maybe the transfer, the easing of transfer credits, or the so-called creep bill? Are these?
I think the credit creep thing is something that's really gained a lot of attention this particular session, and that may have a chance of making it through in some kind of form, at least having the Commission on Higher Education take care of some of those things. But I think that what we're doing this session is really paving the way for 2013 and having a lot of these issues back on the agenda for final resolution next year.
Great. I'll get your higher education basketball predictions off air, off camera. Thank you, Ed, as always, for your insight. For more information, episode streams, and extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Lawmakers under News. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Chwanis. We're back again next week. Until then, take care.
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park. A powerful economic engine and a technology conduit from Chicago to Louisville. Purdue Research Park, the idea economy is here.